Love This Miraculous World by Wendell Berry. Our understandable wish to preserve the planet must somehow be reduced to the scale of our competence. Love is never abstract. It does not adhere to the universe or the planet or the nation or the institution or the profession, but to the singular sparrows of the street, the lilies of the field, the least of these, my brethren. Love this miraculous world that we did not make, that is a gift to us. So it is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, and in this difficult time, first we are all probably getting outside a little less than normal, and so maybe we have lost a little bit of touch with the earth, with nature, with spring. We see it through our windows. Maybe we get out for a walk if we're lucky. But we also know that this is a challenging time because it's a time when we have leadership that does not appear to cherish the earth in ways that we might wish. And I just want to name that. I try to remain relatively unpolitical in my talks, speak in wonderful compass-setting ways about care and compassion and things like that. But specifically on Earth Day, it's hard not to acknowledge that environmental regulations are being overturned, that standards of pollution are being lifted, and etc. I won't go on and on about it, but it's it can be difficult when we care about things like climate change and the health and well-being of the earth in this particular political atmosphere. And in a way, if you're anything like me, you can feel very out of control. Like I want to do everything that I can to prevent climate change and to protect nature and earth because we are so interconnected. And here's the Buddhist aspect of it. We are so interconnected with the natural world. We depend on the natural world. If we ease regulations and allow pollution of our water, we drink the pollution that we allow into the water, literally. It's funny that we don't seem to recognize that. We care about profit, but we don't seem to care that we are drinking our pollution. Well, certainly some of us do, but these policies are so discouraging for those of us who do care about the well-being of all beings. And of course, there are always balances and political considerations, but on Earth Day, it's very hard to recognize the way that we are treating this earth, this atmosphere that we breathe. And very challenging to feel so out of control of these big picture issues. So each of us tries to do what we can in our small way, undoubtedly. And of course, that's what this poem is about. This poem is about the small ways that we can respond within the scope of our own lives. But I want to go back to that feeling of out of control and work with that a little bit tonight. That feeling of perhaps wishing that things were different, other than the way they are. Of course, this applies to our care for this atmosphere, this earth, And it also applies to issues around this pandemic. Many of us undoubtedly wishing that this would just pass and be over. I just got news yesterday that school is going to be out for the rest of the year, as probably many of you know. The governor announced it yesterday. And that is not what I want, not just for myself, but for my students. I am rather heartbroken for my seniors who, are having to give up graduation, having to give up their prom, having to give up their senior spring. Now, of course, in the grand scheme of things, this may not seem like much. I mean, there's so much loss right now, loss of people losing their money, jobs, sense of security, even worse, people losing family members. But my students are losing those things too. They're losing, they have family members. I hear about this from them directly. Family members who have lost work, some have lost family friends, people in their lives that they have lost. So we're all touched and quite out of control, quite out of control of the situation. Of course, we're in our small way, each of us, it translates into our own lives, doing what we can, right? Loving the sparrow, taking care of ourselves, taking care of the people in our lives, being careful to wear masks and, et cetera, et cetera. All the ways that we take care and show love for others by doing our best to avoid this can spreading this virus. And so each of us, even though this is so much bigger than us, we recognize that we can still play our part, that we can still take some small kind of responsibility in our part. And of course, it's the same with the environment. Even though it is so much bigger than us, for some reason it's hard, perhaps because the consequences are far off sometimes, but it can feel hard to take responsibility for our part. And of course, we as Buddhists vow to save all beings, all beings. And so this is something that calls to us, this care that we can provide for the earth in our small ways. In the little ways that we can. So it's always something to think about, and it becomes a kind of precept for us. How do we save the environment in the form of my life, in the form of how I am, doing the little things? How high do I set the heat? When can I walk rather than drive this trip to this drugstore that's on the block, the next block? What bigger things can we do? Can we afford and find a way to do solar panels, et cetera, et cetera? So we choose these things as best we can. I think what's hardest is when we feel that we are doing everything we can, but somehow the situation remains problematic, bigger than us, and like we're swimming against a stream that is so powerful. Again, this is not just about the environment, this is about our whole life situation in which we find ourselves. We're doing what we can, and yet, the virus continues to spread and people continue to die. And we don't have control in a very important way. Here's what Shunryu Suzuki has to say about control. Even though you try to put people and things under some control, it is impossible. You cannot do it. To ignore them, oh wait, sorry. To give your sheep or cow a large, spacious meadow is the way to control him. So it is with people. First, let them do what they want and watch them. This is the best policy. To ignore them is not good. That is the worst policy. The second worst is trying to control them. The best one is to watch them, just to watch them, without trying to control them. The same way works for you yourself as well. If you want to obtain perfect calmness in your zazen or in your life, you should not be bothered by the various images you find in your mind. Let them come and let them go. Then they will be under control. To concentrate your mind on something is not the true purpose of Zen. The true purpose is to see things as they are, to observe things as they are, and to let everything go as it goes. This is to put everything under control in its widest sense. Zen practice is to open up our small mind. So concentrating is just an aid to help you realize big mind, or the mind that is everything. In this mind that is everything, there is no gap. We are the clean water. We are the polluted water. We are those hoping to prevent climate change, and we are the polluters. And of course, that's true. That's actually literally true. We are both the good guys and the bad guys. We are quite boundless. We are the atmosphere. The atmosphere that is pure and untouchable, and the atmosphere that is filled with smoke. We can see this every time we sit zazen. We sit and we realize how permeable we are. We are this vast space that is embodied by the sound of geese flying through the air, squawking away. By our own thoughts, which cause all kinds of trouble. By our moods which just come and go like clouds in the sky, sometimes so smoggy and painful and foggy. That was my day today. My day today was quite a long fog. My day today was me trying to regain control over things that I have no control over. My day was fighting against reality. Sometimes this is what arises for us. So the practice is not to be one way or another, but to see all the ways that we are over time, and to realize that not any single one of them is me. This is all just cause and effect doing its cosmic dance. And we are part of that cosmic dance. Each mood, each mind state, like a rainbow forming across the sky, that ultimately just dissipates and moves on. And later you look back and say, what was all that? Those of us who have done sesshin or longer practices are quite familiar with these strange mind states that can arise in the middle of a sesshin that just take hold and take control, and you find yourself utterly possessed by them, and then they just vanish, empty of any fixed content. And this is how things always are. Everything arising and vanishing, second after second, moment after moment. So there's no need to worry. No need to take control of these things that come and go. No need to be disturbed by them. Everything goes its own way. So no need to push these mind states away. That doesn't mean we invite negative mind states either. I mean, they're not. Who the heck wants to do that? And yet, you know, sometimes we do. Sometimes we are kind of addicted to our own mind states. We don't know who we are if they don't show up. You know, hey, where's my anxiety? I gotta look for that. We get anxious looking for our anxiety. Because we're not sure who we are without it. So there is some liberation involved here. Some letting be and some letting go. Some kind of surrender to something that is bigger than us. This cosmic dance of cause and effect, of karma, they say. And we bear witness. That's our work on the cushion. And through this bear witnessing, we can develop a different relationship with all these mind states. We come to see them as Rumi calls them, as just guests. They aren't really you. And so they're okay. In fact, we can even care for them. We can even love them as these guests who just want to be heard for a while, want to express themselves. This is the great heart of compassion, to receive ourselves in this way, to receive our joy in this way as an act of compassion, and to let it be there when it shines, to receive our grief, our sadness, our anxiety, our fog, when it arises, as an act of compassion. And then letting it just go its own way, not attaching to these things as they come and go, creates a kind of ease around all of these things. Almost entertaining. You know, even the crappy stuff can be almost entertaining, like, oh yeah, here comes this crazy mind state again. I wonder what it'll say today. This is the practice of equanimity. People imagine the practice of equanimity, one of the six paramitas here, is that we will, equanimity means there will be no disturbance anymore. And on the contrary, equanimity is allowing disturbance to just come and go without becoming frightened by it and without becoming attached to it. Without aversion or attachment. That's equanimity. You do not have to be perfect. What a relief, because none of us can be. I'll speak for myself. And so, full circle here. Here we are in a circumstance where we do not get to control environmental policy. And yet we love what we love. And we can express that love in our daily lives. That we can do. And we can bear the difficulty of not being in control. Thank you.